Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everybody. Well, today is Wednesday, December 6th, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. And we begin today talking about Escaping the Black Hole of Worry, written by Brian Golden. Brian Golden is the author, speaker, and motivational expert. And this is his latest article. Was dated yesterday, and he writes, "Worry is an all-consuming black hole, which drains your time, emotions, and physical well-being. And worry is insidious because you are so used to it that you aren't aware how often or how readily you worry. For some people, worry is a way of life. We grow up being taught by example to make worry a regular activity. We worry about what happened. We worry about what is happening now. We worry about what might happen. We worry about what others will do. We worry about what other people won't do. And we worry about just about everything. Well, worry becomes a default reaction to uncertainty. At the very least, worry is like being in a rocking chair. It's a lot of activity which doesn't get you anywhere. At its worst, worry causes or worsens physical and mental ailments. Some of the many conditions worry can be responsible for include stress, anxiety, headaches, high blood pressure, coronary issues, sleep disorders, and eating disorders. Ironically, people commonly react to the onset of these maladies by worrying even more. So taking control of and reducing worry has no negative side effects. The only impact of this strategy is a substantial improvement in your quality of life and a markedly higher level of happiness. Regardless of how much you currently worry, you can substantially decrease the level. And this starts with recognizing how much you worry and when making a commitment to doing what it takes to reduce the degree to which you worry. And here are some practical strategies for reducing worry. Stop worrying about the past by recognizing there is nothing you can do to change it. There are two lessons to be learned from your past, what worked and what did not. Eliminate any behavior which did not bring your desired results, and keep repeating those actions which have been successful. Past bad decisions are counteracted by making better decisions now. Issues which you are concerned about fall into two categories. There are those things which you can't do anything about, and since there's nothing you can do about them, let each one go. Your energy is better spent with a second category, those things you do have influence over. And with these issues, replace worry with action by taking the necessary steps required to accomplish your objectives. Well, keeping things in perspective reduces worry. Many of the things you worry about don't matter or are irrelevant. Don't devote any time to them. They are not worthy of your attention. Ask yourself if what you are worried about today will matter in 5 years. If it won't, save yourself the 5 years and stop worrying about it now. Have positive expectations for today and tomorrow. Don't think about what you don't want. Do not become embroiled in an endless cycle of what-if scenarios of what could go wrong. Instead, focus your concentration on visualizing exactly what you want to achieve and how you want your future to look. There is a solution for every problem. Your objective is to find it. Stop rehashing problems over and over from every possible angle. identify a problem once and then get to work fixing it. Solutions are only implemented through action. Believe in yourself. You have what it takes to live the life you want, and you can attain your goals. Your past does not limit you. It prepares you. Don't allow bad experiences to pollute your future. You can escape the black hole of worry. Start making positive changes today. Implement at least one of the above strategies, and once you have done so, add another. In less time than you realize, your worrying will be substantially diminished. So just so you know, Brian is the author of Dare to Live Without Limits. You can contact him at brian@columnist.com, or you can visit him at his website, www.daretolivewithoutlimits.com. And just so you know, it's a very well column. Here are some of the what readers had to say about Brian Golden's columns. One writes, "Your inspirational articles help so much to empower me each time I read them in the press newspaper. Thank you for making me feel better on days that I don't see a light at the end of the tunnel." Another person writes, "I want to thank you for the article you have written in our Metro Press every week. Your article gives me something to look forward to. I cut out each article and place it on my fridge." Quote, "Just wanted to take the time to thank you for your articles, the articles you write. I just look so forward to reading them. I appreciate your wisdom in what you write and always look to find what the next article will be about." Another person writes, "I just had to write to you to tell you that I am a big fan of yours. I read your articles in every issue of The Resident. Just love it." Another says, "Please know that we thoroughly enjoy your column and look forward to reading it. Your insight is wonderful," end quote. Another writes, "I just wanted to say thank you for your very supportive articles which appear in our local newspaper. I must tell you, the first thing I look for in that paper is your article. Just started reading your column a few weeks ago," says another. "They are really quite good, and I look forward to reading them every week. Keep up the good work, and thank you." And those thank yous are very well deserved. Absolutely fantastic. Now let's look at some other things that are coming into play. Bear with me a moment here. one second. Okay. This is really quite important. This is on the international scene. Evidently, Thai hostages have been freed. Israelis had it worse. So writes Julian Kung. Kung, I think, is the way he pronounces his name. Two of the 23 Thai hostages released late November spoke exclusively with Deutsche Welle. They talked about what they saw during their captivity in Hamas's underground tunnels. For 7 weeks, Anousheh Ankayu was a hostage of Hamas, which the European Union, as well as Germany, the United States, the UK, and several other states designated as a terrorist organization. Cut off from the world with no sunlight. Now he's back home in Ban Don Sila, his village in Thailand. Marquees and music boxes have been set up. Neighbors are cooking vats of Laab Noya, a northern Thai specialty and favorite dish of the guests of honor. Tired and worn thin, he sits away from the bustle on a wooden bench in front of his parents' home as if he were getting used to living a life in freedom again. He says, "I lost 35.3 pounds, a slender man said. He explained that hostages had to make do with one piece of flatbread and a bottle of water a day. The dusty tunnels were dimly lit with car batteries. Quote, "I prayed a lot and thought about my family. That gave me strength in those dark days," 28-year-old said. An aunt joins him and bursts into tears at the sight of her pale nephew. Quote, "I thought I'd never see you again," she said, as she tied a delicate cotton bracelet around his wrist. The white thread is meant to, quote, "bring back good spirits and banish all that is bad," end quote. The ritual is called Bai Sri Su Quan and is meant to restore a person's spirit or encourage mental fortitude. And that's what many in northeastern Thailand believe, where most of Israel's Thai migrant workers hail from. Before Israel's war with Hamas, some 30,000 Thai workers tended to Israel's fields. Some 5,000 foreign harvesters were laboring near the Gaza Strip on October 7 when Hamas launched a multi-front assault in Israel. Of all countries that are third parties to the ongoing conflict, Thailand has lost the most citizens, at least 39 Thai nationals were killed during the initial attack, and another 32 were kidnapped into Gaza. Well, there's a release after diplomatic efforts. Following intensive diplomatic efforts, the government in Bangkok had been able to secure the release of 23 Thai hostages. It took weeks of appealing to Hamas through mediating countries such as Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates. One group of Thai Muslims from the Muslim-majority southern provinces even traveled to Tehran to meet with Hamas representatives. Their efforts appear to have paid off. Thai nationals were among the first foreign hostages to be released during the brief 7-day ceasefire in late November. One of them was Manchi Jirachat, who has been back in Thailand for just a few short days. He's happy to be home, but also pained by the memories of what he witnessed in the past 7 weeks. He was kidnapped, held hostage, and saw friends being murdered. Quote, "Physically, I'm fine," the 29-year-old told Javela on his farm in Udon Thani. Quote, "My neck still hurts a bit," end quote. The dull pain is from a rifle stock that one of his kidnappers rammed into his neck while driving him and other kidnapped laborers onto the back of a pickup truck. "Once the truck was full, they shot two of my companions in the head," the young man recounted, head lowered. Quote, "Just because there was no room left for our hostages, I'll never forget that sight," he said. He says also that Israelis had it worse. As the overcrowded pickup crossed the border into Gaza, Mani was sure he was headed into certain death. He and four other Thais, as well as two Israelis, were led into a tunnel. They spent their first days in captivity tied up on a plastic sheet. Only after it was established that they were Thai citizens were they untied so they could walk through the tunnels a bit each day. "Well, the Israeli hostages had it worse," he said, recounting how guards would shout at them while the Thai hostages remained or received medication. The group of hostages was relocated within the tunnel network 3 times. After weeks of living in fear, the first glimmer of hope appeared. The guards said we would be released during the ceasefire. So after 50 days underground, he was finally allowed to return home. Thai hostages are now receiving the equivalent of about $14,024 as compensation, but Mani still doesn't want to return to Israel. He plans to keep working as a migrant laborer in order to feed his family but this time he's going to South Korea. Unbelievable. And the question is why so many Thai workers became Hamas's victims, written by Julian Kung in Thailand. Israel hosts some 30,000 Thai guest workers, many of whom work on farms near Gaza. Thais comprise the highest number of foreign victims in the Hamas terror attacks, with dozens killed or kidnapped. Kong Sae-Lau was proud of his job in Israel. Every morning, the 26-year-old, a Thai guest worker, rode his electric bicycle to the fields and picked avocados until sundown. Kong would send money to his wife in faraway Thailand, along with joyful selfies taken among lush green fruit trees. "We plan to build a house and start a family," Kong advised. Kong's wife, Sun Tri, told Deutsche Welle. On October 7, the couple's dreams were shattered. Hamas fighters stormed the plantation in Gilbert Mador and abducted Kong. He was taken to the nearby Gaza Strip, and there has been no trace of him since. Ties a court in Israeli-Palestinian tension. Israel has said that 54 Thais are among the estimated 220 people being held hostage by Hamas, which is considered a terror organization by the European Union, the United States, Germany, and others. Thailand's government said that 32 Thais have been killed, one of the highest number of foreign victims. Guest workers from Thailand in Israel are considered politically neutral and a group who largely keep to themselves. Kong's wife said her husband mostly kept the company of his fellow guest workers. Quote, "Why him of all people?" Sun Tri asked, crying. "He is just an innocent worker who wanted to earn money," end quote. In Thailand, many people are wondering why so many Thais were affected by the terror, forced upon them. So it is unclear whether Thais were specifically targeted in the Hamas terror attack. What is clear, however, is that labor migration from Thailand to Israel is linked to Palestinian-Israeli history. Until the late 1980s, it was still mainly Palestinians who engaged in low-wage agricultural labor in Israeli fields. After the first intifada, the Palestinian uprising against Israel that began in 1987, and this changed abruptly. Israel imposed movement restrictions on the West Bank and Gaza Strip, which led to a sharp drop in Palestinian labor. And Israel had to recruit foreign labor to reduce its industry's dependence on the political climate, as well as on administrative and military security decisions, said Asya Ladizhinskaya from the Tel Aviv-based labor rights non-governmental organization Kav La'oved, meaning love to work. In the 1990s, Thai workers became the mainstay of Israel's agricultural sector. Recent surveys put the number of Palestinian agricultural workers at around 10,000, while before the current conflict between Israel and Hamas began, up to 30,000 Thais worked in Israeli plantations and orchards. While Israel's trying to prevent Thai migrant workers from leaving by offering visa extensions and financial incentives, Bangkok is doing everything it can to bring as many citizens home as possible. Quote, "People come back," end quote. Thai Prime Minister Sreta Thavisin recently appealed to Thais in Israel. "At the moment, 1,000 Thais can be evacuated every day. I would like all of them to return," end quote. Kachakon Puttason is glad to be back at home. Soil after he managed to flee Hamas assailants in the back of a pickup truck. They chased us and shot like crazy, the 40-year-old told Deutsche Welle. While Kachakon was fleeing in the car, a bullet grazed him in the knee, and the passenger next to him was hit in the face. Only after a long chase over dusty roads with potholes were they able to escape the attackers. Kachakon's colleague is being treated in an Israeli intensive care unit with head injuries. Kachakon was able to fly home in a wheelchair. His shot knee and will heal soon, but he definitely does not want to go back. He added that the remote farm where he worked in Israel did not have proper security measures in place before the Hamas attacks. Our bomb shelter consisted of simple concrete pipes, Kachakon said. When rocket and shell fire was occasionally heard, he thought to himself, if a bomb ever hits us, we'll all be dead. Ladizhinskaya from Israel's Labor Rights non-governmental organization, Kavla Oved, said that her organization is aware of the problems and recommended that farm workers not work on high-risk days because there is no time to seek shelter in the event of a missile strike, quote, even if they hear a siren in a distant field. A lot of guest workers' housing is not high-end buildings with modern security rooms, she said. In addition to the existing 600 shelters, 430 new bunkers will be built in agricultural regions Israel pledged after the attacks. Furthermore, an amount of $4.9 million has been budgeted for the compensation of foreign workers, quote, who continue to work in the border area with the Gaza Strip until the end of the year, end quote, according to the Israeli embassy in Bangkok. Well, the Thai minister Sreta responded negatively to the offer. Quote, this is unacceptable. Thai lives are at stake, Sreta told Thai media, announcing that the Thai government would pay for, Sreta told Thai media, announcing that the Thai government would pay each returnee about 15,000 Thai baht. It's about almost 500 U.S. dollars to somewhat cushion issues by leaving work. Returnee Kachakon Puttason said he is happy about the benefit support. However, he is now employed and he's an unemployed Thai, does not know how he will be able to feed his family in the future. Very frightening situation, to say the least. Okay. Let's look at some other things that you may hopefully find of interest. One second. Okay. Well, Germany is on guard against terrorism. Against the backdrop of the Israeli Hamas war and one-off attacks close at home, German authorities are confronting a complex threat situation, end quote. Some observers warn against encouraging the danger. A handful of isolated but high-profile incidents have put politically motivated crime high on Germany's security agenda. the renewed fears follow a German tourist getting stabbed to death in Paris last weekend. Okay. All right, let's see what else is happening here. All right, bear with me a moment. Just see a second. Oh, we should follow up on this. The question is, why have relations between Greece and Albania deteriorated? It seems that relations between Greece and Albania have seen many ups and downs over the years. Okay. Actually, for whatever reason, what I went through yesterday at the hospital, I guess I'm just totally exhausted. And so I'm going to shut down, only about a half hour left, an hour and a half left on the broadcast time slot, but I just don't have the strength to go on. So we'll speak to you tomorrow. Tomorrow's another day, and hopefully you'll stay tuned to us, and do go to the YonkersTribune.com website. I think you'll enjoy it. Be well, and good day. Goodbye.